Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine. This is questions as of June 7th. That's Monday. We're publishing on June 10th. And again, send questions to askcatherine@solaria.com or at subscriber input. And we thank you for your questions. Okay, let's dive in with cash, precious metals, and sort of financial questions. Let's see. Between money printing, crypto speculation, and 2020 shenanigans, incentive programs, there's an entirely new crop of newly wealthy in the K-shaped recovery. Is there an onboarding package for new members of the elite classes? So I would not describe them as new members of the elite classes. I would describe them as the newly wealthy. There's a huge difference between political power and money, and it's very important to understand. I haven't thought about a curriculum for such a group of people. I think it's really important that they need to want to find such a curriculum. But if I knew someone like that, the first thing I would do, I'd give them a copy of Marcus Aurelius's Meditations, the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, and Jay Hughes's Family Wealth, and then I pray for them. Question. Now, this was a question we got last week, and for some reason, the person wanted to put it in again, even though I addressed it last week. Do you think Zillow is just more data mining and shutting out local real estate offices? So this is a complex issue because Zillow was created because the real estate market was in for massive change. And the people who started it are from Microsoft, so they knew that. And when I started Hamilton in 1990 and 1991, I said real estate was in for massive change. So, you know, they started it after 2000, and that was pretty obvious. And the application of new tools to data and data mining was, there's arbitrages are waiting to happen. So it was a no-brainer that this was going to happen. Are they shutting out local real estate offices? Yes and no, but again, data collection and data is going to happen. So as far as I know, they also work with local real estate offices. So this can cut both ways, but there's no doubt the more data you have on any function, the more things centralize. Some of that, of course, is just the existence of the data. And the problem was not that Zillow was doing data mining centrally. The problem was that the kind of data investment and tool investment that needed to happen at the local level, which is what I was trying to do in the 90s, was prevented from happening by covert and illegal means. So I would get back to the fact that I don't think there's a problem that Zillow is doing data collection that I know of. I think the problem is that the federal government money has a negative return on investment and involves the criminal activities. So I think you want to look for the root problem, and whatever Zillow is, it's not the root problem. But everybody wants more data on real estate, and that was the way the market was going, and that was what was going to happen. So I just see that as the nature of technology applied to one of many, many industries. COVID-19, how can any human in their right mind think this is okay to do? I cannot fathom. So they're talking about the proposal in Philadelphia to lower the consent age to 12. I don't see how such a thing is possible. I can't fathom that it's legal, but I have no idea what would happen if a group of attorneys took it to court. I posted later this week an email. Supposedly somebody sent an inquiry and received an email, they said, from Philadelphia, from the health department, telling someone how they could go find a place to get a vaccination without their parents knowing. Again, it just came in over the transom, so I can't prove that it's accurate, but anyway, so I don't think lowering the consent age, particularly on an emergency authorization. But here's the thing. Parents are responsible for the care of their children. And so if something is going to impact the financial ramifications of being responsible for that child, I think they have to agree and approve and consent. So I can't fathom how this could possibly be legal. You know, we seem to be tearing up all laws and all support and enforcement of all laws. So there you have it. Should non-vaccinated people self-identify as vaccinated? It depends on the situation. I think it's always important to tell the truth if it's impacting other people. So I would be very, very careful, other than I thought that was pretty funny, the trans-vaccite. So would I do that as a joke? Yes, but I wouldn't mislead people. If you don't want to tell people what your vaccination status is, just tell them it's private and don't go into it. But I would never lie. The mRNA COVID vaccine is not a vaccine. So somebody sent in a lot of information, including a recent presentation involving Judy Mikovits about the vaccination. And the whole thing is in the notes. What I would say is Kennedy has a book coming out about Fauci that looks fairly interesting. And a lot of the material covered, we covered in with David Hagen and in his articles. And I can't recommend his website and his articles, including his new one on iron, strongly enough. And then Patrick Wood, we've done several interviews on Patrick Wood, but Patrick Wood is excellent on technocracy. So you're covering a lot of the territory we've covered with David Hagen and Patrick Wood. And I would recommend their work to you. And if you haven't read Hagen's articles, again, I just can't recommend them strongly enough. Hi, Catherine. Three people in my immediate circle diagnosed with advanced stage cancers within weeks of receiving the experimental injections. At 86 years old, advanced stage pancreatic cancer, a 41-year-old with multiple tumors in his liver and colon, the 86-year-old and 41-year-old are grandmother and grandson. Just 2 weeks after learning about these precious friends, I learned my dear 70-ish neighbor may have blood cancer. She's been suffering with severe back pain for the last several weeks that has gotten progressively worse. Additional testing underway. I felt certain that there would be no association drawn or reported that the experimental injections had anything to do with any of these. It is not uncommon to have a family member diagnosed with cancer, but two family members within weeks of getting their experimental injections and with weeks of getting their diagnosis. It is too much to be coincidental in my life experience. I want to share every opportunity I have. I want to share this every opportunity I have so that if others are having similar experiences, we can make the connections. I really appreciate your doing this. My experience with my dear friend Georgie is that she had been managing cancer for many years and then took they merged the swine flu vaccination with the annual flu vaccination. And it just devastated her immune system and the cancer just took over and ran. So if I had to guess, I just think anything that is a shock to your immune system can cause, you know, all of our bodies all the time are filled with the seeds of disease, whether it's cancer or other things. And if you shock your immune system, then it breaks down and things take over. So whether it's the toxicity in the injections, the things the body finds toxic, or the wham to your immune system, it doesn't surprise me that this can happen. Catherine, what do you make of this? Bill Gates, Warren Buffett building nuclear reactors in Wyoming. Makes a lot of sense because they've been investing and looking at much safer, much lower scale nuclear energy. So it doesn't surprise me. I don't know a lot about it, but I expect to see a revolution in energy technology over the next 20 years. And I continue to say, I think one of the reasons Mr. Global wants complete control of everything is so you can break out breakthrough energy technology. And the wealth creation of that is going to be mind-boggling. It's one of the reasons I think you've got an important transformation underway in real estate, because you bring out breakthrough energy and the relative value of real estate to other assets just skyrockets, in my opinion. Okay, so we had changed to feedback with that question. Let's keep going on feedback. Subject, somebody sent a wealth of emails for sort of archiving, and I haven't gotten a chance to look at them, but I appreciate you wanting to make sure things get archived. Hi, Catherine. I was thinking about taking a second career in addition to my career as a web developer. I plan on getting back to small-scale farming once I buy a home or land, but I'm also considering taking courses on becoming a home inspector. Is it worth it? Could I make a living off of becoming a home inspector? I don't know much about the home inspector business, but I have to tell you, I think it's unbelievably important in this environment to keep adding skills that can generate an income. So home inspector is one, particularly if you get into and learn a lot about EMF radiation, because remedial EMF is going to be, I think, is another moneymaker. But I would recommend building a portfolio of skills. So I'm not the person to tell you the economics of home inspector versus the economics of becoming an appraiser or the economics of becoming a plumber or electrician. But I would absolutely add another series of skills to your portfolio. Maybe home inspector first and then appraiser second and EMF remediation third, or, you know, all things around a home. I think there's going to be plenty to do. As I said, transformation in real estate. Hi, Catherine. In your Coming Clean, Building a Wonderful World article, okay to share? Yes, that's public share widely. Please feel free to share. Is it available in PDF format? No, but I just talked to our team about seeing if we can't do that. Then you also said, is there a succinct 1 to 2 page synopsis of the Going Direct Great Reset? That's a great idea to do, but I don't have it yet, but that's on the list, but I can't promise you when I'll get there. Dear Catherine, you don't know me, but I've followed you for a couple of years. You're kind of a lighthouse. So here's the question I talked about last week about sort of the idea of doing a cruise ship, which I thought was a very clever idea. And last week I made some suggestions about how to proceed. In the meantime, I sent sort of a generic description of your idea to a venture capitalist I know is putting out a lot of money in the real estate area. And he was nice enough to call me back and said, you know, this is a great idea. I tried it in the 70s and it didn't work, because apparently if you look at how the cruise ships are built, if you try and port them with people living on them on a long-term basis, you have real structural issues. Apparently if you bump the dock, it rings throughout the boat. They're real structural issues, he said. So what I would do is dig in and see who's tried this and why it doesn't work, and see if that can be overcome or not before you put too much time in it. But he's a very clever guy, and apparently he immediately saw the potential of what you're describing. And unfortunately, in the 70s, it didn't work. But, you know, times change. Catherine, I would value hearing your thoughts on why Deagle is predicting that the United States population will decrease to 100 million by the year 2025. The Deagle projections have been around for a while. I take it on face value that a group of people in the defense-related industry, for some reason, decided to publish it. You know, I just have no idea what their assumptions are, and they don't make clear. When you look at the numbers, I've always assumed that it was an assumption that the U.S. lost the reserve currency status on a shock basis. Now, if you look at where things are going, and I'll talk more about this with John Titus this week, it looks like they're simply trying to globalize the control and management of the reserve currency. So the central bankers have taken control of both the treasury and the, you know, so they control monetary policy. Now they're taking control of treasury, and it looks like they're trying to globalize the military and globalize the management of the dollar reserve currency. And so you probably won't get a shock change of this kind. What you will get, though, is a global group who decides to dramatically cut the living standards of people in the United States and use inflation to continue to squeeze the middle class and acceleration of the slow burn. Now, there's some people who believe the injections are designed to create infertility or to lower life expectancies, and that's a possibility. I have no idea what the assumptions with Deagle were, but again, I think if I had to guess, it would be that the U.S. dollar lost reserve currency on a shock basis, and I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think you're going to have a much more managed process. There is a possibility, which I think is small, of a sort of major nuclear war or cyber attack, at which point you could also get sort of numbers like these. Here's the thing, I don't know, and I take it on face value that this was a small group of people working in the defense industry and knowledgeable about the defense industry who were pretty negative on the outlook for the United States of America. I think the people managing the United States of America know how to avoid a shock like this. But of course, in this environment, anything can happen. The other thing is, you know, what's funny is what I was trying to warn about for 20 plus years about the missing money is that if you engineer the assets out of the system, including the retirement system, that it's going to have to lead to lower life expectancy or depopulation or some kind of radical change. And that didn't seem to compute for most people. They could relate to the Deagle scenario, but they couldn't relate to what I was trying to say about missing money. It seemed obvious to me that if you move all the grain out of the storehouse, then there's nothing there. And that means there's nothing there to support life for many, many people. So looking at the Deagle numbers, they don't make sense to me, unless, of course, what some people are saying about the injections are true in terms of depopulation. And I just don't know that that's true. So I would expect it to either increase infertility or lower life expectancy. But I think we just don't know until we live through the 6 to 18 month cycle of seeing what they do to people. And again, as the subscriber said earlier, I think a lot of the deaths that we see will be attributed to other factors. The G7 yesterday agreed on imposing a 15% minimum global tax rate for all companies. They should be taxed not only based on where they're registered, but also where they generate revenues. What do you make of this, or is it just a smokescreen? Now, this is an exceptionally important development. We'll cover it with John Titus on Money and Markets this week. As we're trying to globalize the reserve currency and we're trying to globalize the military, we're globalizing taxes. And this is a big step to getting a global government in place with the military, with the taxes, with the reserve currency. And so this is, as Ed Sullivan used to say, this is very, very big. So we're going to talk a little bit about it more this week. Now, implementing this is going to take many, many years. This is not going to be a quick process. But if you can get consensus at the G7 level, then you've got the basis to go out and start to build a global taxation system. And as I said, the rubber is going to meet the road on the issue of taxation without representation. And that's part of what's being engineered here. That's why the passports are so important, because then you can collect taxes without representation. You just take it by force. Question. It is abundantly clear that the majority of people who believe that the mainstream voice of authority tell them day in and day out do not investigate and research the many other sources of information and perspectives that are being intentionally censored. This is itself being intentionally manipulated. The first principle of programming is taking over. So you use the word masses, and one thing I want to say, there is no such thing as the masses. There are 8 billion people, most of which are not in the decision-making group. That's not, only in a world of mass media is that considered to be one group. These break down into very different people, different cultures, and we need to start thinking of them. I find the word the masses very, very pejorative. So you can't think about this phenomena simply, and it's exceptionally important to think about people in their respective cultures and niches. The first principle of programming is taking over the main sources of information, the world's major media outlets. Yes, it's taking over, but I think it's also applying mind control technology through those outlets. Then the very idea that there is actually an elitist global agenda to reshape human civilization becomes unbelievable. I don't think it's unbelievable. I think everybody believes it. I think everybody believes it. And the only people who don't have been subject to major amounts of entrainment subliminal programming. If you haven't digested the links at the commentary, mind control tactics used on children and young people and everyone else, I would strongly recommend you digest those links. Science is then seen to have degenerated into propagandist scientism. Medicine has likewise become tyrannical. In fact, all institutions and areas of human culture have become gridlocked into a matrix that has control as its essential movement. So here's where I disagree with you. If I sent out an email that described in a paragraph how every man could have as many orgasms as, or as many erections as he wanted, and then a paragraph of how every woman could have as many orgasms as she wanted, and I sent it to my three closest, dearest friends and said, under no circumstances share this with everyone. This is entirely private. Please don't share. How long would it take for everybody on the planet to have it? So, you know, I believe even with mind control, once you have it, it goes. And I just don't believe in, if you've ever read John Rappaport's interviews, including the Ellis Metavoy interviews, you would know that there is a divine intelligence that is out of control of the matrix. It is happening while we sleep. It is unbelievable for the program mind that has swallowed the uniform narrative. Yes, some people have disappeared into the mind control and can't come out. What is most distressing about the Orwellian type scenario being perpetrated upon us is the massive effects it's having on the mental and emotional health of increasing numbers of people, including the young. Yes, it's terrifying. There are a great many young people who are being destroyed mentally, intellectually, and spiritually, and it's an incredible tragedy. This nightmare has been created by human minds and can only be resolved by human minds and moral hearts. At what point do people begin to wake up and realize they have been duped? In my experience, that's a very complex issue. But I would say to you, there are a lot less people that are duped than appear to you to be. I'm not sure why. There seems to be some kind of common mind control or misconception that people don't know and don't care. And that's just not what I find to be true. What I do find is that people are busy and they need to focus on practical things. And they generally feel that they can't get anything accomplished by fighting with City Hall. But there is great variation as to about how much mind control gets digested and how it works. And I spend my entire life trying to focus on working and engaging with people who generally, for whatever reason, have not gone into the Borg, and simply avoid people who have because I can't be useful to them. You know, and I only engage with them when they think I can be useful with them. And I think you can not agree with people but still love them. And so I think it's exceptionally important to love people even if they're in the Borg. This may help explain why people there are not sick. So this is a PDF on sort of the globalist dilemma, how to implement a fourth industrial revolution without losing power. I think it's very important to understand that a lot of what's happening is an elite that is scared, is trying to figure out how to stay in control. The problem with this kind of change in a meritocracy, you never know who's going to end up in control. And the elite can't guarantee, the current elite can't guarantee they're going to be the elite 10 or 20 years from now. So meritocracy, and in their defense, meritocracy can make risk management very difficult, and a society can blow itself up if the risk management isn't transitioned properly. And so meritocracy can look scary for perfectly legitimate reasons. Hi, Catherine. Okay, so this is referring to the same PDF that we put up so that it could be read. Hi, Catherine. We currently live in Douglas County, Colorado, in a single family. So we're on to nothing on health, believe it or not. We're on to local gatherings. We currently live in Douglas County, Colorado, in a single family residence, not on farmland. We are very happy where we live, but have not found many people that share our concern for what is happening. Do you have any recommendations to help us find our tribe? Yes. So we, in response to the demands of the subscribers, we are bringing up a open source social media site called connect.celeri.com. We've been prototyping and testing it for the last month or two, just in our team. And then we brought in a few subscribers to help us try it. And now what we've done is we've invited people in to create groups, really Celeri circles, for their place. And the first people we've invited in are people who've gone through the training to do local gatherings. Once we get them in and make sure it's working, then we'll invite everyone. So you'll be able to start something or join something if there's already one there for Colorado or your local area, depends on how you define it. So I would get on, as soon as it's accessible, sometime in the next month or two, I would get on Connect and see who you can find in your area. So over the next year, we're going to do a lot more to help people sort of connect and find people in their area. And I really hope that helps. Dear Catherine, I have an expat, a friend living in Harlem in the Netherlands. They would like to connect with some like-minded Celeri type people as they're feeling pretty isolated. And the Dutch seem to be following the false narrative. So I'm hoping to bring together, I'm going to be in Basel at the end of the month, and I'm hoping to bring together a group of Swiss subscribers and invite some of the ones in Germany and France that are very close by. And then when I come back, I'm going to talk with Robert about doing something in the Netherlands later this year. But it will be subscriber only. So it sounds like your friend is may not be subscriber only, but that will happen sometime later this year. Hi, Catherine. I've followed you for many months. I've joined up with a group of about 30 people led by a lady called R.E. to buy a farm with a house and 20 acres in the beautiful Peak District in the U.K. It's just over $1 million. We seem to get the money together, then someone drops out. We are 100K short. We are quite far on the process. Great bunch of people. We are so near just 1 month of acquisition and completing, but it's still so far. I've just been inspired to email you today with no concrete intention of asking any questions. Maybe it's even that you just say a prayer for us. I don't know. Anyway, if somebody's interested in meeting this group, just send your email to customer service and we will we'll see if we can get you at least introduced. Okay, recommended links. Somebody sent some books on great resources to look into the rise of the Bolshevik. That's very appreciated because I think we can learn a lot studying sort of the Wall Street engineering of a wave of destruction of Russia with the Bolsheviks. Nasty, nasty story, but has a lot of lessons learned for our current time. Next one. A good friend just sent this to me. We're both in Canada, and this only applies to US at this time. I got a sick feeling when I read this. Amazon is going to link smart devices to each other, creating networks of smart technology. A wonderful subscriber just posted a link in subscriber input describing about the fact how, you know, basically Wi-Fi packages that anybody could buy for $20 will go through walls and can listen to somebody's very intimate data and information. We're clearly going to a 24/7 complete surveillance world. Now, we've been in that already, but now it's becoming much more ubiquitous and it's part of the smart grid. And of course, the reason we're doing medical nanobots with Ulrich, and if you haven't listened to it, it's a must hear. We did part one last week and we're doing part two this week. You know, I think the data collection is getting more invasive than we could possibly ever imagine, but that'll tell you a little bit about the technology. I was there in South Dakota to hear your tape presentation. This is the Red Pill Expo. I'm now back in Southwest Utah. I think the Red Pill Expo would be so much better, but it's mostly followed by researchers of corruption and not founders of vision. I emailed you a copy of The High Road, The Future of American Grace, and it looks like the image below. It's the catalyst needed for a 2030 vision. So I agree, we need, their website is, you can download for free at The Genuine Optimist. So I'm with you, I'm an optimist. I agree it's important to have a vision for your future, a positive one. Hi, Catherine. Since you're out there in Friesland, you may have friends who can translate this. So this is a story about biolabs in Rotterdam. If you haven't looked at our latest special report on the animal biolab in Kansas, totally frightening, by Corey Lynn. I asked her to write that because it's connected up with doing RFID chips or a new proposal to RFID chip the cattle herds. And I'm very afraid that the war on meat is going to take a new step up. Pete Kennedy has agreed to record a first in the food series called The War on Meat, and I really appreciate his efforts. If you haven't listened to his interview with Sally Fallon on synthetic food, I can't recommend it enough. And his most recent special report with a senator from Montana who got a law passed saying neighbors can sell each other food. Yahoo! Talk about positive. One of the things that inspired him to do it was that Wyoming had done the same. And this is the kind of important change. So I'm telling you, find your good state legislators and support them. No questions under take action, but I wanted to mention again, we're about to launch the silver and gold payment calculator. We had one up and lost it for, you know, tragic reasons that we don't need to go into. But we've had a wonderful team of developers working to build a new one, and we're about to launch it. So you can check it out. I have more text and work on it to describe, but you can check it out at silverandgoldermoney.com. We're bringing up the Solari Circle social media software at connect.solari.com. That's subscriber only. We're just bringing in now the people who've been trained to do the local gatherings. If you haven't heard from customer service yet. And, you know, please feel free to email customer service and say, get me on Connect right away. And then after we have those groups in there and we're confident that it's working, we'll open it up to everybody. And then also at Subscriber Input, we have a new Subscriber Input that's organized around groups and forums. And we'll switch over to that in June 30. In the meantime, you can use the old Subscriber Input. And of course, once we switch over, you'll be able to link and find the historical archive. Okay, that's it for this week. Again, send your questions to askcatherine@slayer.com or post them in Subscriber Input. Ladies and gentlemen, have a wonderful week.